Your win rate is terrible, Dragon Lady. This is Core.
Hello, everybody. This is Core. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger, and it's episode 33 of the Core Show. And, yeah, once in a while, Heroes has a week where, you know, it's kind of casual, and other teams at Blizzard are releasing new products, and, you know, Heroes of the Storm players just have to bide their time until they get the next big announcement about, I don't know, when Medivh might be coming out, or when they're going to nerf some character you love or whatever. This week, nice and quiet. Crickets all across the land. Yeah, here we are to talk about it. We're not really used to that, though. It's been pretty constant stream of news, Bo. Like, from the time the game came out of alpha or out of beta and became a full-fledged game, it felt like we were getting nonstop news ever since then. I don't remember the last slow week. Do you?
Nope, it's been steady as she goes, I think, for the past year. There's always been something on the horizon, or just on the horizon. We're waiting for them to announce, like, the ranked season changes, for example. So, kind of a quiet week, but probably by design, since, you know, there's a little game called Overwatch that is now available.
It is available now. And, John, you've said some things about Overwatch in the last couple of days that have been intriguing to me. And I love saying these things that you don't know what I'm going to say. I'm about to spring it on you. You ready for this?
I'm going over everything I ever said about Overwatch. What did I say?
Well, no, it's just I've noticed a few comments out of you about what's the difference between the way this game is handling things like our score moving forward, our MMR, for lack of a whatever the term is, Overwatch should have for your sort of behind-the-scenes ranking in the game. And having us last night, you were making comments about how we're all starting from zero, essentially. Everybody's jumping in the pool at once. So you have, well, I say that not knowing if they're actually using anything from our alpha period at all. I don't know. I mean, they haven't said anything, so I don't know kind of where we're at in terms of matchmaking. But whether that stuff has an impact or not, or whether it all started yesterday is difficult to say. But we were all thrown into the pool at once. It was us, and it was some noobs who have no idea what they're doing. And it was also a team full of Korean professionals who currently dominate the scene in all first-person shooter competitive games. And then it was another game with some noobs. And then there was some people we were pretty well matched with. And like it seems to be all over the place because we're all kind of starting at the same place. Do you think Overwatch and its launch is a window into how an MMR wipe works? Or are these two such different games, such different, potentially such different player bases that there's no comparison here?
I think it's a nice window into what Dustin Browder was kind of hinting at when he said that they weren't going to do a full MMR wipe for our accounts. He said they're going to do kind of what's called a soft reset, where your wins and losses and things like that will have a greater impact on your MMR, but they're not going to get rid of it. And the reason he said they did that is because he admitted that there are people who are stuck in pits that they just can't seem to get out of. There are people that are definitely not playing at the rank or being matched at the rank they should be. But he said it solves the problem for them, but then it creates a problem for the other, you know, 70 to 80% of players that aren't having any issues whatsoever. Mm. So you resolve an issue for this small number and you cause an issue for a bigger number. And now what we're looking at with Overwatch is we're kind of looking at what that world would be like, because you have people who were in the beta who've gotten quite good at the game. And then you've got people who are just getting in and this is their first day. And I could probably count on one hand the number of games we had where it was, you know, real close and it was swinging back and forth and oh, we were just fighting and we just pulled out a victory. It was very small. It felt like we either just got royally stomped or we destroyed the enemy team over and over all night.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a terrible experience, but I don't think it's the optimal one that they want players to have ultimately.
Sure. And again, with a launch like this, when you're starting with just like, here, let's go, everybody, we're going fresh, they don't have a lot of choice here because millions of players yesterday, well, potentially millions of them who have never played it before, what are you going to do? I mean, you can't keep them in their own, you know, they don't get to sit at the little table at Thanksgiving until they're old enough or whatever, while the rest of us season 9 month beta players get to do, you know, get to do special things. So I kind of get why it's a mess for them, and this will start to suss itself out. But in Heroes, it's such a different proposition to wipe MMR. It's such a different animal because you're talking about multiple years now. What, 2 years are we into that game? How far are we into that game? How long has it been?
Yeah.
Launched in...
I feel like it was a year last year, right? I feel like I bought...
Crap, I don't remember. Like when
I bought in January 2015, I think, when you could purchase into the beta. I think it was January.
Okay, so a year.
We're about a year and some.
A year and 18, change. Maybe 18 months. Okay, so we're working on 2 years here. To take things now and shake it up too much potentially puts you in this position that John described, Bo, of like, oh, shit, everybody's all over the place. And that game, we stomped them. And this game, we got stomped. And there's no rhyme or reason between the two. Do you fear that with this upcoming stuff?
Like these changes? Heroes?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just not going to do it. I don't think they're doing it for Overwatch. Here's an idea, and it could totally be wrong, but the reason that competitive isn't part of the reason that competitive isn't in Overwatch right now is because they're currently seeding players. Mm. Like, we played Team League together. We played almost all of our games together. Like, maybe one we missed, and we got really varied ranks. Mine was at 32, yours was at 42, and John's was at 40, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 32, and 40, and 42.
We played all of our games together. Why are they different? Because it's seeded from the other modes that we've played.
Right.
Like, we can't have the same win-loss record against the same opponents and have it be the same. No doubt that's coming. That'll be a thing for the competitive modes. Get all the pro players in there now, running Ramshot over Quick Match for a while, and then start seeding them higher in competitive, depending on how that ends up working out. But I got to think that you're just not, once competitive gets launched, it's not going to be the same thing.
What remains,
you are going to get seeded.
What remains difficult for me to this day is trying to not think about, in Heroes specifically, in Overwatch I don't care because everyone's kind of new. I played really well for 9 months. I'm not that worried about where I'm at all. But in Heroes, because we talked about this on the show before, but in Heroes where I started raw and was not great and MOBAs and I weren't quite getting along yet and I didn't really know what I was doing and I'm playing, freaking Tyrael like he's a diving assassin or something and not really knowing what I'm doing, I established a very ugly, lame MMR under the hood number very early on. And now I play at a very different level. I'm no pro by any means. I'm nowhere even near you. I'm not even near John, but I'm near enough to John to be within striking distance, which I'll talk about in a second because I'm so mad at the math in this, this freaking ranking thing. I'm so pissed still. But anyway, let me back up. I kind of know that I'm in a better place. I'm 100% sure of it than I was when I started. But I spent a lot of time in that starting period not knowing what the hell I was doing. So I have such regret about that. Like, there's nothing I can do to change those numbers, to go back and to change it. So no matter what they do to me in the future, I will always think about, even if it's not happening, I will always think about this monkey on my back known as the first 3-4 months I played this game. And it'll always kind of be there to haunt me unless they wipe that someday. I don't know if that is that's an unhealthy mental state for me to be in. I need to get over that probably. I need to just move on from it. But I can't be the only one out there who feels like their early exposure to Heroes and their sort of sloppy entry into the game isn't still haunting them from afar.
I have some kind of good news for you. Not that I know it for a fact, but they don't, these MMR systems, I believe, and I could be wrong, so please let us know if you know more than what I'm about to say, is that there is decay in terms of your record. That, you know, your MMR, what really matters in the calculations is only your recent activity, which still you have to come from somewhere. So it can still haunt you if you're, say, stuck somewhere at a certain level.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't believe at some point anyways. If it's not in now, it's got to be in someday. 5 years from now, you're not playing Heroes and the matchmaker's going, man, this guy blew back in 2015. We better make sure to put a negative modifier on his MMR match. Like, I think at some point, if it doesn't already do it, because we don't know its inner workings, I guess it's too proprietary for them to just share it with the community. It'd be kind of nice, I think, to know fulsome information about it. Mm-hmm. I got to think that your prior history is okay. Like, you will be okay in the long run. You All just right. need to focus on the game in front of you, mm-hmm. and don't worry about what John's doing.
All right, now, here's the thing that happened with John, that John's great, did great. We finished his placement matches in Team League, which we've been playing. It's been great, by the way, enjoying Team League immensely. It's like a whole different game in a lot of ways. And John gets his final game done. I have one more game to play after John does, and we all stayed around to play that game. But when John got his, we won that match in particular, and he got his, and he hit 40, which means he gets the mount no matter what. Okay, done. We play one more game. We get beat kind of hard, and I get ranked 42. And at first I thought, well, that's just because I'm, 42. That's fine. That's probably where I am. It kind of sucks I didn't hit 40, but hey, what you going to do? And then John did some math. That really haunted me and haunts me to this day.
I forgot I told you the math that I did behind it.
Yeah, so he did this math through Hotslog's stuff and just, you're an inquisitive, scientific-minded guy anyway. You're good at this sort of thing. You look at these things from this perspective. And you found that if we had won that, I probably would have been 40. It was enough points to probably put me at 40. There's no guarantee.
Yeah, it would have definitely put you at 41.
Right.
It probably would have put you at 40.
Yeah, we may have even been 42. So my point is, I was robbed of two ranks because we lost the match of my final placement match. It was a real bummer. But anyway, I'm not
and
really
we
upset
almost
about
won that one, too. Yeah. That was the other heartbreaker of it, is we were winning for 90% of that match.
Now, I could look at it as, Scott, if you would have been doing better up to that point, you would have ranked, you'd have come in at 38 or something. Or you would have come in at 40 when you could have been 38 if you'd won. I get it. I know it's a moving scale. I totally get it. I'm just saying, that's some raw ass, like, freaking life punishment handed to me on a plate. And for me to get back there isn't too big of a deal because we still have people on the team who need placement matches. But every loss is going to hurt, Yeah. And Team League is hard. So let's talk about Team League. We should probably all be playing Team League. And when I say all of us, I mean listeners. You ought to try to figure out how to get in there. If it intimidates you, don't be intimidated. It's really fun. You're going to get stomped sometimes, but I don't know how to explain this. You guys might do better at this than me. So, Bo, explain why you like Team League, and I've really enjoyed it.
So we've played this game for a while. Yeah. We've done a lot of quick match. We've done a lot of solo Hero League, AI, quick match, whatever. And playing Team League with our group, it's been a whole new experience. And I think mainly because we're still playing the way we play, which we evidently need to work on in that mode, because the other team are playing very strategically in team fights. Like, as a group, they're all speaking to each other like we are. And it's evident by the way, it's like a new challenge or a new raid boss or a new thing that you have to take into account. It's a very unique experience that's actually really invigorating because of all the coordinated team play on both sides. Yeah. And the thing I liked about the teams that beat us, like, handily on it, is that it wasn't, so one of the things was chaining together their ultimates so they weren't overlapped and dirtling. That was very impressive to see and kind of feel like it'd be cool for us to learn that. But also approaching the strategy of the map, where it's like some games you're like, they got this camp and this camp and this camp, and we're just like, well, go soak the lane and we'll call you when we need you. Like, it's like a whole other level. So yeah. And you're playing with friends. It's supposed to be fun too. And so I found it a lot of fun to really be challenged in that way. Team League's pretty cool, and Blizzard wants you to play Team League because they made it way easier for you to get the sweet loot, which is why we started in the first place, was to get everyone their elemental wolf mount.
Now, John, before you pipe in on this, I have to make a comment about one of the things I've liked about it so far, and that is it feels like there's less room for me as a player, as an individual on my team, to blame my poor decisions or my goofs or my whatever on anything that the other team did. or some rando we're with did, or because of a mirror match on the other side where we're both playing Li Ming and that sucks or whatever, or it's a map I didn't plan on because I picked the character and the map randomly happened like in Quick Match. Like, all of those excuses go away, and what you're left with is this team either won that fight or we did. That team either better controlled those control points or we did. Whatever that comes down to, it is now down to, did we outplay them or didn't we? And there's something simple, clean, and revitalizing about that fact for me. Even with the losses, I at least know that was us who lost that, not them being... It's not some other factor that I can lay blame on. It feels like it's a much more is much more concise evidence as to what the hell happened in these fights and stuff. And for whatever reason, that gives me all kinds of almost said smoke. All kinds of smoke. What does that mean? That means nothing. Why would I say that? Why would that word come out?
He's a cool character in Mortal Kombat.
That's
so
true.
You're real excited about
that's
it.
That's true.
Maybe you're thinking of hope. Because it rhymes with smoke.
Kinda. Maybe hope and smoke rhyme. Maybe I can smell toast. Maybe this is my first stroke. I don't know what's happening. no, but do you, does that make sense, John? Like, I there's that feeling of it is no longer any of those factors. It's not any of the stuff that are normally out of my control and easy to sort of lay at the feet at. I can just say, no, it's because this we did poorly there. And so what are we going to do? Well, we got to do this and this and this. I mean, you can start actually constructing responses and you can train yourselves to play better. Like, I really came away with that feeling this last time.
It prevents the easy way out for making excuses for yourself or for your team. It's one of those things where you get in there and you have to kind of own up to your own skill as a player and what you're doing. You know, the other night we had a match where we played with Garrett, actually, from Into the Nexus. Mm-hmm. And it was probably the worst game I've played on Diablo in months. I couldn't get the moves to go off right. I couldn't land anything. I was having trouble being in the right position. They were flanking me with incredible ease. All the things I typically feel I'm really strong at, did really, really terrible at. And at the end of the match, it was just like one of these things where, you know, your natural reaction is to want to say, oh man, well, you know, that's just a rough map for this comp. Well, no, we picked that comp for that map specifically. I made that choice. Well, you know, we got stuck with a rant. Nope, we played with people that we liked. It's mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you go down that list of things you normally say. And at the end of the day, it makes you examine, you know, what you did wrong. And so I walked away from what was a real bad feeling match, being like, well, okay, let me think about how I'm playing this character. What could I have done different? What could I have done better? And that improves you as a player. And look, we're saying everybody should play Team League. Understand, there will be blood. Mm-hmm. You are going to have some stomps. Part of the reason why this mode was not very popular is because it was a lot of just hardcore, really into it teams playing, and people got stomped. But that's also how you learn best in this game. You have to set that bar higher if you want to be able to jump higher. Yeah. You don't ever get any better if you say, oh, well, if I set it all the way down here, I can jump over it every time. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that makes you happy, be happy. But if you want to improve, set the bar higher and see what you can do with it. And the more people that get in there, the better matches you're going to get. Because right now, it feels like sometimes we get kind of what we were talking about with the Overwatch, where, okay, this team really just destroyed us. And the next thing you know, we get a match where it's like, oh, okay, this felt even and good and like a solid match for us. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then next you're like, oh, okay, I see Cloud9 had an off day and just wanted to come mess with us. It's fine. So,
yeah, there were a couple of games where I remember one where we played in particular where there was a team that just killed us, just smeared us all over the floor. And we got matched again with that team and everybody got all hemming and hawing about it. Except there were two different people on it than there were before. So there was three of the same people, two different people. And I can't remember if we won. We may have still lost, but it was a much different match. So it can be it can be so intimidating. You go in, you really don't know. And when a guy's name is like, you know, I hate Jaina 99 or whatever, I just shake in my boots. Oh, and don't forget, you know, this is all draft. So the draft in the game is super intense mentally and sometimes physically. Just trying to make sure we're not overthinking it or underthinking it or making terrible decisions or just being too safe. Like there's so many, that is a whole separate video game almost, the draft mode is. And man, that's maybe the most intense part of some of these games. We're just getting through the freaking draft and having that timer go off in the background. I mean, good Lord.
Well, I mean, there's a strategy to it. Sometimes we've lost a few games sort of on the back of having poor morale about our draft as a team, where it's like, who's locking in? What are we doing? Or who's making what decision? Because the drafting, it's not like you guys pick your heroes and I have no say about it, because usually I'm the decider.
Yeah.
But I don't like to be just the decider. We approach things as a team. I like to ask people what they want to play and what they think. Hard to have this consensus-based conversation within that time limit. So there really is a game to it. And you do kind of, it's clear to me, we have to settle these things in advance, know what people's strengths are, what their preferred picks are, and know how to make a team out of it. Because even if I know what everyone prefers to play, your comp has to work together. And ideally, it works well against whatever heroes the enemy picked, which who knows what they're going to pick. And to that bands, it's a whole other game. It's super cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
So I agree with you.
It's fun. It's really good, and I'm excited to keep it up. It's my now favorite way to play, and I'm not averse to quick matches here and there, but I think whenever there are five of us, I don't see any reason to not do it. I mean, we may get to a tier at some point where we're like, well, it needs to be, you know, we need to make sure that whoever's there, we're always there. Like it's, you know, because that's the next level. The next level is complete coordination by teammates who are always there. So that gets tricky because we also have a lot of alternates we like to play with. And, you know, that may get weird. And I'm not saying that the game suddenly is Team League or forget it. But, man, I really like it. It's really fun. And
sorry to interrupt. No, but it feels the most like our Overwatch games when we play in the Team League mode.
Yeah.
We're not... We haven't been focused as much on, Zeratul and Nova again in the same match. Why do we play heroes? It's so annoying. Like, first of all, nobody does that in Heroes in Team League or Hero League. So it's the way it's meant to be played. Do I owe someone money now because I used someone's tagline?
No, I like it. It's Sony. It's in the game. It's EA Sports. It's in the game. No, this is the other problem I have. And it reminds me when you were saying earlier about that, you know, draft being really intense and how we need to be prepared ahead of time and know who our best player, you know, characters are and all that kind of stuff. One of the tendencies I have in the game is I'm being a little bit goofy up front. And the last thing you need is a guy like me during draft for Team League to talk about why Prison Tychus's feet look weird, you know?
Yeah. We're usually talking about dongs, and then the timer goes up. We're like, what are we picking? But we still want to talk about dongs.
And right.
The transition isn't happening fast enough,
sure,
maybe.
Sure,
but or Prison Tychus. I kind of took, you know.
Yeah, you went a
little.
There's
been some dong talk, too.
I was going to say, you went really quickly from Prison Tychus to dong, and that's fine. I don't mind. It's totally fine. But anyway, yeah, it's awesome. So I think we've made our case. People should be playing Team League to the best of your ability. Try to be nice to each other. That's the other thing. You can get real frustrating in there because you are on your own. It's you and your team, and you it's you guys or bust. So be good to each other. All right, Chromie is maybe no longer anyone's homie for now.
That's a fast turn.
Yeah. So what? She's not even. Well, she's a week today. I guess she's been out for a week today. And here. Okay. I don't want to explain this too much because Bo, I want to hear it in your own words, but I watched Bo play a lot of games with Chromie, and we played a lot of games with you while you played as Chromie. And you went on an epic, historic losing streak with Chromie.
Oh, yeah.
And it's...
Oh, yeah. I've never lost more games, I think, in my life. Well, playing Heroes. Maybe ever in any game.
Yeah.
So that 32% you're seeing, that win rate that people talk about on Hotslogs, I can't really check Hotslogs because your site crashes. I don't know, for me, fix that. it's like That's like the upper end of your expectations. Don't think, hey, I'm going to play Chromie, so I'm going to have a 32% win rate. I'm pretty sure, I haven't checked my profile, I'm pretty sure I'm like 5%. Mm. I'm sure she's my worst hero. And I bought the Master Skin, I grinded it all the way up to 10, played a bajillion games with her, I love the art, the VO, the character, can't seem to win a game, solo queue or five stack, just can't seem to do it. Mm. Barely ever do it. And I think if we are doing it, the remaining team members really have to shore up a lot and work well with her. It's been, I'm kind of sad.
John, you got her to level 5 and fell off a bit. I've got her to maybe she's 3 or 4 for me, and I've only fallen off in the wake of the negativity, not just because people aren't happy, but because if she's not there yet, like if she's not in a place where she can contribute to a meaningful win, then what the hell, man? And also, by the way, she's just not, like, usually there's a problem in ranked mode where people are trying to force the new characters in and not have them banned and play them. And people get pissed. Ah, that's too new. You shouldn't play Leoric. He's only been out a few days or whatever. Nobody cares with Chromie. Nobody's picking her at all. And it's all very sad. I spent $20-something on that character and her skin. Like, it's a real bummer. So what do we do to fix her? Well, John, what's wrong with her in the first place? If you had to make an estimation of what the hell is wrong with Chromie, what would you say in a court of law?
Oh, there's a lot wrong with Chromie. Mm. Number one, she needs to be a Nova or a Zeratul. Mm. That's how she needs to be played. But I think because she's classified as this mage, people think, okay, hey, let's have her go in a lane like Kael'thas or Li Ming. But she ultimately doesn't have any lane clear. Mm. She has one spell that can even hit minions. And granted, it hits all the minions if you aim it correctly, but that's not lane clear. And so she tends to get stuck down in a lane by herself. And that's not going to help your team. In addition, if you have an objective based match where, say, you need to fight an immortal or something like that, she's got one spell that can hit the immortal. And I think you look at that and you just say, okay, so she needs to run around and she needs to snipe and destroy people and act like a Nova or a Zeratul.
Yeah.
But
even then, she's got less kit than they do to do what they do. Like,
even then, she's going to have a harder time getting away. Mm-hmm. She gets blown up extremely easily. Mm-hmm. And it's tough. It's tough to be a Chromie out there in the world. Mm-hmm. Really good Chromies can make some serious plays for their team, but it's not easy. I mean, they're called skill shots for a reason. It's tough.
Yeah. It also doesn't feel sustained either, right? Like, there's not a sustained sense that she is always in the fray. There's a feeling of like, whoa, in a way Jane is like this, but in a more consistent way. But there are these moments of greatness where you put the time slow thing at the perfect place. Way to go, Chromie. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you dropped your dragon right when you did. And you trapped that guy in time. Holy crap, the great triumvirate of combos happen, and Lordy be praised, right? I see Jesus in a tree. But then, I may have oversold that. But then there's the rest of the game where it's like, oh, I'm trying to get in there. Okay, well, I don't have anything to hit him with, and oh, shoot, you know, this and that and the other. You just kind of start running out of those moments. They're not as frequent as they could be for Jaina or Kael'thas or somebody else who's got a more sustained burst, or those moments of bursting out with all of their combos and stuff just isn't happening very often with her. And even in a skilled player, like, I think Bo's good with her, and you were loving her, like, you're having fun with her. I have fun with her. She's really fun. That's not the problem. Fun is not the problem. The problem is she's just kind of in a big chaotic fight. She feels kind of like just a piece of spaghetti. She's not doing anything over there.
Well, the way that I've settled on playing her is basically you've got to be at max range with her. So you're not even in the fight a lot of the time in theory. And it's very difficult to, like, the you have a big wind up. So, you know, hitting skill shots aside, I like that it's difficult to hit with her abilities, and it does reward you quite a bit when you do hit with the abilities. The main issue is, A, you're so far away. If you nuke someone down to about 5% health, they get away. Mm-hmm. There's no follow-up. Your team's not diving 5 miles past the front line to get whoever it was you're sniping. So there have been so many times where I bring a hero low with a good combo, and they get away. I don't get the kill, and that doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. The other issue is that, you know, she does die really easily, and she has no way to get away. So you end up playing way too safe, which means you're often trying to rush to catch up, and you're not there on time. And so, like, because, you know, as Jaina or Kael'thas, you bob and weave back in and out of the team fight where you need to be focusing what you need to be doing. But with her, she's very much on the periphery. Kind of like if you ever played Hammer and you feel like you're always behind and never actually reaching because they're not coming into your umbrella. Yep. So, like, I just feel like I'm top damage in losing games. Like, and I feel it's hard to close the deal, and it would be kind of imbalanced if you just zeroed out somebody from that range. But logistically, it doesn't seem to work well unless, you know, I imagine a team comp built around it would. The other one is my favorite talent, which I hope they never remove, but that bye-bye talent where you just hearth out.
Yeah.
I use that so much. It's great. But guess what? You effectively died. You don't have a death timer, but if you're 5v5ing and Nova pops out and shoots you down to 10% and it's time to get out because your healer, you know, you saw him blow his ancestral on Diablo, you're out of there. You're out of the fight. Like, it's a 4v5.
Yeah.
It's cute. It's so unhelpful. It's so not helpful. Like, yes, yeah, you're surviving, so you win. And the other talent on that tier, which is at 13, is the extra range, which again compounds the problem of her, yes, big damage, but if you're not securing a kill, you know, you're not making a difference. And that's ultimately, I think, what's at issue with her, is that it's, you need a team to follow up on the damage that you do. And in your solo queue games, or your solo quick match, solo hero league, we had a hard enough time trying to do this in our team games. The thing happens and it's over before, like, no one sees it coming. There's no telegraph for your teammates. They're not paying attention to who you're trying to target. Mm-hmm. So if there's no follow-up because you don't 100-0 someone out, then they often get away, or they get that heal in time, and there's, you're waiting on your cooldowns. So yeah, the good news about this is that I think, you know, buffs or changes will come for her.
Yeah,
and she will be fun to play. And I've put in my time and I got my master skin. So when that day comes, I'll be ready.
Yeah,
she is very cool.
That's the other thing, is they'll fix it. I mean, you know, Blizzard's not just going to let her die in the vine, but it is frustrating because on the one hand, she's the first character I feel in the game is great and terrible at the same time, because what she represents is awesome and what she can do is actually fun. And, you know, there's some cool stuff happening, but it's all just feels off and wrong for now. So she's great and bad. And it's like Waterworld, really. You could really enjoy Waterworld once a year if you're me. But it's not a great movie. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you.
Someone's going to figure it out. There's going to be a Chromie thing. And then once someone figures that out, she'll be bananas.
There will
and that's
be.
That's why
Yeah,
there will spend all my time doing, but I didn't figure out secrets.
There will be a sequel to Waterworld, is the bottom line. Everybody, get excited! It's happening. All right, let's talk about the 50%. Down with the 50%, boy! If we had that problem in this country, it wouldn't be nearly as many people pissed. 50% has long been heralded as the balance point for heroes. Correct. Win rate should be around 50%. Isn't that the general thing? Like, that's what Blizzard wants. They want everybody to win about half the time.
That's their message.
It's kind of an annoying message, though, isn't it? I understand it from a mathematical perspective, but it's annoying to be told, we only want you to win half the time. I don't want to be told that. I want to win 100% of the time.
Yeah, right? Take that number and double it.
you can't... You can't promise people they're going to win all their games. So the most diplomatic thing you can say is give everyone half their games, because no one's getting shortchanged.
Yeah.
How they do it, it's behind the veil.
Yeah. So this is, they basically want to be able to promise what a coin toss promises. Like, mathematically speaking, if you toss a coin enough times, you will have an equal number of heads as you will tails. But you absolutely, in you know, short sections of coin flipping, you're going to hit tails more often sometimes, and other times you're going to have somebody who may go, it's like having kids. This is also scientifically proven. If you could have kids forever, let's say you could have kids for 100 years, and let's say that's one kid per year, you would, in theory, on average, have 50 girls, 50 boys. But some people, they go and they just aim for having a boy, and they just have seven girls in a row, and they give up.
Right. Right? You can't have kids forever.
Exactly. If you could, you would, and you'd even out. But because you don't, and it's, I guess what I'm saying is how it feels in-game sucks. Mm-hmm. So if you have like a 10-game losing streak, that's a real bummer, and you're adding to the losing average. But is that still... I don't know. I mean, how do you combat those losing streaks? Let's have some advice.
It's PR. So let's say your goal is to give everyone 50%. Pure, honest goal. How can you achieve that when you throw a new hero into the mix every 3 weeks? When you throw new maps into the rotation? Mm-hmm. These all introduce new forms of, I don't know if this is the right use of the word entropy, but
yeah,
sure. I don't know. I'm channeling my Jurassic Park Jeff Goldblum here. It's some chaos theory thing is being introduced every time.
Come on, John, let's hear it. I want to hear the laugh. Let's hear the laugh. There you go. Sorry, I couldn't let it go without it. That was amazing. All right.
We love you, Jeff Goldblum.
Yes.
So the idea that they actually can promise this is insane. Like, it just seems insane to me. Like, they're saying it's their goal, but like all kind of good general goals, it's never achievable. Like, you're never the best version of yourself, Scott. The moment that you say, you know what, I'm the best human being on earth, is the moment you suck.
Yeah,
that's the rule. That you always have to be working towards something.
Yep.
So like the 50% goal is just that. Well, you know, we're trying. But if you're listening to this saying like, oh, Blizzard, they're so corrupt, or they don't make their matchmaker as good as they could be, they're putting all their money in the Warcraft movie, it's like never going to be that way. Just get off that train. Just go, like, get off that train, because they're trying, which is the important part. Yeah. They are trying.
Yeah.
They're not going to show you them trying because, again, I don't think anyone wants to watch a bunch of videos of people at their desks having meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay, but so, let me ask you this, Bo. You, we were just talking about you and Chromie and your attempts to unlock the secrets of Chromie and failing mm-hmm. to do so. It can be demoralizing, for sure, even for a positive paragon of neutrality such as yourself.
Bro. I still feel good. I'm still...
What do you do to combat a losing streak? When you look down and you see, all right, 13 games lost in a row, how do you find the zen and the equalization of that to say, you know what, it's fine?
No, I don't play the game to win. So it doesn't matter.
Whoa! Hold on a second. I feel like we're getting a secret sauce here. So wait, everyone, shut up. What you're doing at home? If you're starting to drift off and the TV's on or your wife's bugging you, walk into somewhere quiet. I want to hear what Bo has to say about this, because this may be the secret to his Zen lifestyle. So go.
Everyone in gamer culture out there, there are tons of jerky people, and they're the people streaming with tens of thousands of viewers, not just the jerky people you see in chat like we had just now. But they will tell you winning's important. They will make fun of people who suck at the game quite regularly. This is all stupid. You play the game to have fun. Any game that you play to have fun. And if you're a professional at it, you don't care about winning. The most mind-blowing thing I heard was about marathon runners, because I always thought they race to beat the other people. But they race to beat themselves. There's no point. You can't run fast. Like, at that, if you're a runner at that level, you're not trying to run faster than other people. You're just practicing every day. You're breathing, you're running, your technique, and if you keep focusing on that, your times will get faster and your average times get faster and faster. And then you might end up beating people, not because, oh, I hate that other guy, I'm going to beat him, and that somehow this magic thing that you see in the movies happens where you're so inspired you run faster. When you're at that Olympic level doing things at that crazy thing, all that emotional stuff is not what is focused on. What's focused on is you. And you don't have to be an Olympic hero player, Heroes of the Storm player, to just practice this in your everyday life. So that's, I played Chromie games. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out her secret. There's a way to breathe while I play her. There's a way to use her abilities. There's a way to fool opponents. I've got to learn all this. And if I'm losing lots of games, yeah, someone might look at my match history and go like, why does this guy host a podcast? He sucks. And that's a common reaction. Like, well, how dare you get up in front of a camera and tell people, hey, this is what you need to do when you play the game or whatever. The point is, you don't. I love the game. That's right. Reason enough. And so that's reason enough to play. All right. I think I made my point.
I like it.
Yeah. I don't play games to win. And it can be tilting when you have a teammate that says something like that when you want to win. Yeah. But my approach is methodical and about practice in the way that I play.
Yeah.
And when that's your focus, then winning and losing is just a result. And we don't want to be results-oriented thinkers. We want to be process-oriented thinkers. Okay, now I'm done.
No, I like it, dude. This is a good insight because it can be in the heat of battle. It can be, you know, that does create more focus, doesn't it? You know what? This is actually my attitude about like content creation and podcasting in general. I don't care about the numbers and let me put it this way. The less I've cared about numbers, the more numbers I've gotten. Does that make sense? Like when I just put my head down and go, let's make rad stuff together, that always wins over, all right, we need to check our metrics each day and burp-a-derp-a-derp. Can't do that. Forget it. It just completely washes it out. So there's something
people
in there, man.
People seem to want like detailed patch notes. So let's go everything over with a fine tooth comb because it's what they say they want. And it's like, so you start making decisions based on the results of what people said about your show and not about what you think is fun or rad or what makes the show good.
Yeah, you got to go with your passion. And if your passion is to play Chromie, then you should play Chromie even though you lose 72% of the time. I don't even know what to add to that. Any other thoughts, John, on the 50-50?
No, I think Bo really nailed it with what he said. In fact, I will say, just because, hey, we're right after Overwatch launched, let's tie it all in. This has been the attitude that I'm trying to get into going into Overwatch. I'm trying to be less about, you know what, I got to win every single match. Mm-hmm. It's easier to do in Overwatch, I think, because you kind of get rewarded no matter what.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get to that mindset of, no, you know what? I want to play it because it's a rad game that I like and not because I want to go in and win constantly. Yeah. And it's really changed. It's difficult for me. I'm a very competitive person. I like to win. It's true. But it's a mindset I'm trying to adopt. And it's making my gameplay experience better. And it's going to probably keep people being willing to play with me for longer.
That's a good point. I never thought of it. My attitude about how much fun I'm having versus whether or not we're winning will probably go a long way to make it whether or not, you know, JP gives a shit about playing with me or not. I hadn't really considered that, but you're right. That's true. Well, all right, everybody out there, that's the most zen thing we could have ever said on the show. I should have had some kind of zen music. And you know all I can find? Guess what I can find instead of zen music? This is all I can find.
Yep.
It doesn't really work.
Yep, nothing says, meditate, relax.
It's a mariachi band.
What about Zen Yada Mon Dada?
Oh, I like
it
that too.
It means no worries, right? That's the
yeah, song. That's exactly it. Yeah. All right, band balance. Bands are pretty much, okay, here's the guarantee. Here's pretty much the virtual guarantee. If you get into Team League or you get into Hero League, there are two things you can count on. Three things, really. That KT will be banned, that Li Ming will probably be banned, Morales will likely be banned, and often Tracer and or Illidan will be banned. It's always the same, and I never feel when it happens, even when we do it, I never feel like it's based on anything other than this is what people are doing right now. And I don't know how to break free of that. Do we watch pros do it? Like what changes the pattern of who's getting banned and why? But it always feels like if you got the first ban, all right, get rid of Li Ming as fast as you can. Okay, good. They didn't get rid of Morales, so we're going to. Let's get no Morales. Or we're going to pick her if they didn't ban her. Like, there's such a race to get these three or four characters either on your team or banned as fast as humanly possible. But is that a problem that we're all just defaulting or what?
I think it can be. Just from our own perspective, playing these team league games, you know, you get stuck in this mindset of, oh, these are the popular characters, and so we want to either ban or deny them. And I think from my own experience with it, we had moments where we said, oh, okay, we can get Morales if we want Morales. And we would take her, but the person on our team who would have to play Morales because she's the one who's really good on her, that denies her maybe playing another character that we need more. And so rather than say, you know what, if the other team wants her, take her. We're going to build a stronger comp in spite of it. We were taking it as a deny and then not performing as well as we could because we were so busy trying to pick and deny heroes that were in vogue that we were hurting ourselves in doing it. Mm-hmm. But I think when you do look down this list, you're looking at heroes that all change the way you have to play the game when they're on the team. You can't play a game where Tracer's on the team the same way you can play a game if that's a Vala.
Mm.
They're not interchangeable.
Sure. Mm. So,
part of it is, too, that when you're in the silo of solo queue and you don't really know how to please people if you're banning, it's also good to go with the crowd, right? So that everyone on your team's like, yeah, they get behind you, rather than I'm going to ban Sergeant Hammer because I think she's the hardest to play against. And everyone's like, what are you doing? You know, so.
And you're notably, often in your games, are you often the one when you're solo queuing in Hero League? Are you often the one doing the banning because your MMR is the highest?
No. So that's also how I learned is you play a lot of games with other people who take the banning and you watch the other team banning and you sort of pick up on what the boogeymen are. And that list that you ran down was accurate, with the exception of Rhaegar's high on that list. And Kael'thas is like number one right now. Kael'thas is shot right up.
Yep.
And we saw a lot of that in Team League. And I thought maybe it was a Team League thing only. But Kael'thas has been a boogeyman for a long time, too.
On and off, too. Like, this isn't his first time to be Mr. Ban Ban Pants.
Living Bomb is hard. And I'll tell you, personal opinion, he's extra hard on Diablo. Or any character where you take the burning talent because you're looking for living bombs on you, but then your character's just on fire all the time. So I'd catch myself and I'm like, okay, guys, I don't know if it's my fire or Kael'thas's fire on me, but I'm on fire for some reason, so maybe stay away from
me. Yeah, and you're
the only character that does what he does. He's like anti-death ball. Sure. I can't think of another character that breaks it up like a Kael'thas.
Yeah, and you're the Lord of Terror, the prime evil, the guy in charge of the burning hells. Like, the whole thing is really kind of jacked up if you think about it. KT.
Yeah, he should throw fire at me and I should laugh and be like, thanks.
You know, what if it was green fire? I'm just saying. Why not?
That's not a bad idea, actually, to maybe change up the graphic a little bit. Because I think, honestly, I think a lot of the strength that KT has is because, like Bo said, it's anti-death ball. And right now, we talked last week about how popular death ball is. But also, people have a really hard time not spreading that bomb.
Yeah.
At least at the leagues and level we're playing at. So for anybody who's up in the top leagues and they're like, oh, we're great at it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. But we're really bad about not spreading the bomb. We like to spread the bomb. We're generous people here in the lower leagues. We like group hugs and fun. And that bomb will go places. So I think making it more obvious that you have a bomb and to stay away from that person could be actually kind of a quasi-nerf to Kael'thas, actually.
Yeah, because if enough visual indicator, if it's enough of one, could really throw it. Like, you would immediately be repelled by this flashy thing that's happening on a character. And right now it's so subtle you don't even notice it because there's so much other stuff going on. And maybe that's by design. Well, I think you're right. It would be a nerf. I think it would literally be a nerf, even though the power didn't change, the damage didn't change, the spreadability didn't change, but the noticeability, it's like Bo's always saying, vision's everything in the game. That's it's a form of vision. Not quite the same vision as, you know, a bunch of shit bombs on the floor by what's her name.
Shit bombs. That's a great ability.
All right. Finally, did y'all get your Widowmaker skin? John did. Like some kind of psychopath. Okay, here's the thing. John has not been quiet about being the one guy here who hates Nova the most. We've said it a million times. This is no news to anyone who's listened to the show for any period of time. And so I thought for sure, not a chance John's going to go spend any money on that skin of Widowmaker to put on Nova, a character he never plays and doesn't like and hates to play against. And yet, there she is.
I have so many skins for Nova. She's got really good skins, Scott.
I know. They're all cool. They're all cool. Like, nothing
else. I have to ask, like, do you spend a little time admiring her and then pick another character to play?
No, I don't. It's so weird.
You're like, man, I hate Nova, but she sure is attractive.
I had this moment where I was like, I had this moment where I was like, I'm going to learn Nova. And yeah. That's how I justified the skin purchase. I was like, no, I'm going to learn Nova. I'll pick up the skin. I played an AI game as her and I was like, all right, I'm good. Mm-hmm. But I mean, can we talk about that skin for a minute? Because it's not a case of buyer's remorse.
Okay.
It's something else. So Widowmaker being a skin, I don't know if we actually talked about it or not. I know a lot of people have, was very controversial. In fact, when I talked about it on Twitter that day, man, did I get a bunch of responses from people with very differing and very strong opinions about that skin. Mm. It's super heated because for a lot of people, the fact that there's a Nova or a Widowmaker skin for Nova is tantamount to them saying there will be no Widowmaker in Heroes of the Storm ever.
Yeah.
And as a result, they're not happy about it because they say, oh, it's just because she looks like a sniper. They don't have the same kit, which is true. And that's, you know, I didn't fall into that camp. I understand not every character from Overwatch is going to make it into the game. But that said, I thought they were going to at least, like, give it the legendary treatment. And this might be the laziest feeling skin they've ever released for the game, in my opinion.
Interesting.
Oh, so it's not buyer's remorse, more like buyer's plague.
Yeah, this is real bad. I feel like if you already have made people mad with your decision, make the skin good, but it does kind of look like her. It's a decent enough skin. It's not bad. But the problem is her voice doesn't change. She still says Nova here. She still talks about being Nova. She still does all the Nova things. And then on top of that, I don't know. They just had so many opportunities. And even the lore description for the skin is like, she's one of the best snipers in the galaxy. She's really good at what she does. She always hits her mark. And now she's dressed up like Widowmaker. It's the laziest lore in the world to go along with it. You could have made people at least a little happier if she talked like Widowmaker. If maybe she said some words in French just to, you know, keep things interesting. Anything, but they literally just made it a skin for Nova, and that's the description. She's dressed up like Widowmaker.
Yeah, it's literally like it's Nova cosplay for, yes, Widowmaker. Yeah,
it's really bad. Yeah. I think that was a major letdown.
All right, so here I'm going to argue only one point of it. I agree with you 100%, except for the part that says there's for sure no chance we'd ever get a Widowmaker in the game. And the thing I would base that on would be Uther's medic skin that happened well before Morales was ever announced. That I remember at the time people went, oh, well, that means we're never getting a medic. That sucks. I guess we'll just deal with Uther for the rest of our lives. And that happened. So I have a little hope. Not that I even want a Widowmaker, mind you, but I have some hope that that doesn't necessarily preclude them from not having the actual character represented as the skin in the game. But then, but because it's so much light, well, okay, now I have to
pedal
back.
It's a lot like her. That's the issue.
I have to pedal back a little
bit. The
medic,
you don't mistake the Uther medic for the medic. It's a giant white thing with a beard. Yeah. Like cousin
Greetings. My name's Lieutenant Morales. You can find me at the Blizzard store. Okay, now, I know my name's a little feminine, but I've got a mighty beard.
As I said it, I realized how stupid it sounds because, yes, she is the spitting image of Nova to the point that when we saw the Tracer release video, we kind of all, some of us wondered, well, is that even real? Or are they just screwing around?
So like in a lot of the art stuff, they talk about heroes being identifiable by their silhouette. And if you look at their silhouettes, you can kind of see Kael'thas is distinct from Jaina, who's distinct from Chromie, who's distinct from Li Ming, all mages with flowing gowns. When you think of the outline, when I think of Nova's outline and Widowmaker's silhouette, I'm like, one's got a plumper butt and that's Widowmaker, mm-hmm, you know? And that's it. They're going to look the same on the map. You're gonna be like, is that a Nova? Is that a Widowmaker? I don't see how they actually put a Widowmaker in the game that wouldn't get mistaken for a Nova.
Mm, yeah. So no, you're right.
Corner painted.
What if they could do one of the cool skins she has? Oh, forget it. I know I'm wrong. There's no way they're putting
like
her in
the game. The like 18th or 17th century like French aristocrat. Yeah. Oh oui, je m'appelle Widowmaker. Je vais sniper. Woo.
Finally, yeah,
all those famous Widowmaker lines.
Finally, a foreign language impression that Bo does that I can totally get behind. That was actually really good because you live up in. Yeah, you guys are. Aren't you required? Oh, hold on. You know what we're doing here? I'm doing a thing that I got to play a thing for. Hold on. Where is it? Here it is. Whoops. No.
That's a good question.
No. There it is. Off topic for a second. Canadians are forced at gunpoint to learn French when they are growing up, right? Isn't that the deal?
No, it's just you get better jobs if you do in certain parts of the country, like the one I'm in.
Yeah.
So if you want to be a have and not a have not, in theory, it's good to send your kids to both language schools. And so.
Okay. So it's not required, though. You don't have to take a certain.
Here's the thing. Canada has two official languages, meaning in theory, everyone should speak English and French. But there's a pretty big cultural divide as the country is gigantic. And a lot of the Francophones are in Quebec and a lot of the Anglophones are everywhere else.
Yeah.
So.
All right. I've learned something here. So here's this. Okay. We're out of that now. Also.
That's a good question.
All right. Here we go. Here's the final point. There is no final point. Widowmaker. She's a skin and that's it. It's cosplay. John's right. You're totally right. And Blizzard, poo-poo on you. Oh, okay. This doesn't stop them, though, from adding effects and sound effects, possibly more VO later, though. They have done that to other skins where they've tweaked them later.
So, they absolutely have, and they should. Blizzard, you should make it right. You should make it legendary.
Yep.
But you could have made so much more money if you'd done it up front, because... if the past has been any indication, you get the legendary upgrade free if you've already bought it.
Yes. Yeah. As Tracer said, right to Widowmaker's face. Why would you do this? Okay. Let's move
on. It's so sad to see a friend afflicted with buyer's plague.
That leads us into today's core concepts. Real quick, I want to give something away, though. Chat room, you guys didn't even expect this. I didn't warn you. You have no idea this is happening. But I'm going to give one of you a free Jaina. Why? Because Adam Wells from the internet, that's where he's from, got a collector's edition of Overwatch, and in that you get a free Jaina code to use in Heroes of the Storm, which is pretty rad. She's a wonderful character, still one of my favorites, and absolutely you want her for free if you don't already have her. So... somebody send me a private message who doesn't currently have Jaina, and I will send you this code there in the Twitch chat pretty quick here. I'll wait for a few of you to catch up and send me private messages. I'll pull one of you at random and you'll get that again, courtesy of Adam Wells. Adam, thanks so much, man, for letting us do that.
Hey, can we do a little quiz? Do they have to answer a question?
If you want to, what's the quiz? Give me a quiz.
Maybe we could say they have to translate my name into English. Oh, it's a French word.
Okay. Give it. What is it? Oh, Bo Schwartz.
Yeah, well, my name is Bo. So they have to private message you and give you the English version of my name.
So the joint, your last name's German, though, right?
Yes.
So do you ever have to, do you ever invade yourself, or how's that go?
It's getting pretty
phrasing, dude. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I like to share a lot in the show. I'm a pretty open guy. But I think maybe we're going to draw the line at... where I like to invade myself.
Are we going to have, if John and I are going to have to come over there and save you from one half of you? Is that what's going to happen?
My legs are at save war with my arms.
I'm invading, guys. Don't do it, Bo. You have so much to live for.
Yes, please don't. All right. So as soon as whoever the hell wants to get her, let me know. And maybe everyone listening to this live has Jaina. I don't want to assume you don't. And if you don't, that's okay too. Because usually I get a whole bunch of people asking already. But if you want Jaina, why send me a private message? Okay, can we talk
You're
about...
You're going to get her without even going to the Blizzard store.
Well, technically...
Although she does have some fine skins you could check out there.
Hey, speaking of which, does the Nova skin for the Amazon, the Amazonian from Diablo 2, does that have different voice work or no? Is that a cosplay also?
That is also cosplay.
Okay. Well, there's precedence then, is all I'm saying. I'm not saying that's good, but...
I was okay with that one, though.
Well, because you never thought, you know, what are they going to do? The Amazon's basically Vala. So why would you bring her in, right? Like, I make sense. I agree. But I think you could make an argument that it's kind of the same deal. Somebody could make that argument.
I also feel like she is dressed up as the Amazon.
Yeah.
She doesn't look exactly like her. It's like, hey, we kind of captured the essence of, I think we're kind of back to the Uther thing. Like, oh yeah, it's kind of like the Amazon. Remember the Amazon?
Yeah.
Now she's like the Amazon. This is literally like, now that's Widowmaker right there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But the only giveaway is that ridiculous face that Nova has. You know,
yeah.
Everything else is standing hate for Nova's face to anybody.
So smug. Get that smug look off your face, Nova.
She's pretty smug. I don't know why she's so smug.
One kill.
Her whole game got canceled in 2005 or whatever. I don't know why she's so smug.
She's really got nothing to be happy about.
No, not really. All right. Let's talk about dancing. And we don't mean slash dance. I mean, we could mean that, but that's not what we're going to talk about today. When you dance in the game, Bo, what are you doing? Give me the definition as in the context of Heroes of the Storm.
Okay, so this came about actually from firsthand experience when we were doing our five mans, which was, I told everyone to dance, and I think everyone said, what? You know, it's kind of like a weird instruction. And people, I think we understood what it meant sort of in the moment after a moment, which was just, there's a point in the game sometimes when a fight is about to happen. The enemy teams, it's like the two gangs. And what's that movie with the gangs? The newspaper, East Side Story or something.
West Side Story? Gangs of New York.
Yeah, West Side Story.
West Side Story, yeah.
Yeah.
Die Hard.
East Side Story is a different movie.
Predator 2.
Ask your parents. West Side Story. What am I talking about? Dancing. So the two gangs are like, you're just shuffling. And it's really hard to, when you see the enemy team, to not just want to start fighting. Like, oh, shit, there's Jaina, let's go.
Yeah.
When you're playing in the controlled five stack where everyone's got to be coordinated, there's this sort of point. And I don't find you see it as much in Heroes professional play, although it's there. Seen it a lot in other MOBAs. And really what it is, that the first person to step out, it needs to be a committed engage, otherwise they're going to get blown up. And part of the deal with dancing is you never want to be standing still. You always want to be moving. So you'll see these teams of five just moving back and forth, looking like ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And that's part of dancing. So usually we're not ready to start the fight yet. We're waiting to someone to come back from respawning or from some other direction in the map. Generally, we're not ready, or we're ready, but we're waiting for them to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be dancing for 5 to 10 seconds, but when you're doing that, it can feel like an eternity. Like, please, can we just start fighting now? When you have that anxiety, you have to go. And the first person to drop the hat starts the whole thing. And if we're not ready, you know, if the tank hasn't issued the order or the primary engager hasn't done his thing, you failed to dance. Mm. And so that's what dancing is all about. And it's, you definitely don't see it as much in solo queue play, but as I've climbed up the ranks, there is a sense of waiting for the team to be ready and having that awareness. So sometimes what you need to be doing is dancing. It's a thing in the game, which means you're moving, you're clicking your mouse left and right, left and right, left and right, and just moving your guy because the enemy team might be firing out the odd gravity lapse or skill shot. And you want to make sure you give yourself a fighting chance at it missing, because if you're standing still, it most definitely won't.
Yeah, it's also really good to do. I know we've just been poo-pooing on Chromie, but when Chromie is in effect and doing well, the best way to avoid Chromie problems is to be dancing, to sort of always be moving, especially when, you know, she's just outside of range and she's doing things that don't give you any sort of tell and you don't know where they're coming from. Even if you see her wind up, you don't know where that dragon's going to land. And I find when I'm juking and jiving as much as possible, I more often than not don't get caught in her stuff or Jaina's or KT's or other people's little pot shots they throw out there. I just don't get hit as much.
Yeah, so, sometimes there's a Murden, he's dancing, and you're like, what's he doing dancing there? I'm dancing too. What are we doing? We're dancing. And then he throws a hammer at you.
Yep.
Well, because you were dancing, the hammer missed. But if that hammer connects, all of a sudden, four more people show up on vision, and you're dead, and you've lost the engage. That's why it's important to dance. and to dance better than your opponent.
Here's a here's When You're a Jet from West Side Story, everyone. Take a listen here. This is what Bo's talking about.
Me and Tony started the Jets.
So where is he? How come he takes a lousy stinking job?
Youth board corrupted him.
Yeah, temporary sickness.
Damn.
Wait and see.
Man, remember them fists the day we clobbered the emeralds.
Well, he saved my ever-loving neck.
Sure, he'll do it again, too.
It's an awful lot of white people in West Side Story.
You know what I really miss? I miss the era of filmmaking where nobody let anybody finish talking before they started their line.
Yeah, dude, you couldn't have any silence. It's like the way, it's like podcasting now for me. It's like I cannot, you have to fill every hole. All right, here's the music.
Now I know Tony like I know me.
And
I
can't
get you to swing in this thing. Little boy, you're a man. Little man, you're a king.
Oh, that's terrible. Holy frick. I know it's a different era.
We liked all sorts of things.
I know it's a different era and all, but man, that stuff's terrible. All right.
You're tough guys, Scott. You don't want to mess with the Jets.
Yeah, when you're a Jet, you're a Jet, you're a Jet or something. All right, here's this. Leaning in hard to emails and calls today. We get emails at core@heroesforyou.com. I got one from someone today who used that address, or you can phone call us, voicemail us, whatever the word is, 801-471-0462. Here is the email from Chewbacca. All right.
Yeah.
He says this, Corehounds, I think Overwatch has the right idea on rewarding players for exceptional performance during matches. This type of approach of providing additional rewards can be gauged by stats that are universal across all heroes, and it could be based on the player's ability to exceed the average performance of other players with that hero. Here are some pros and cons I see with this. Pros, increased gold/XP, which can easily be tweaked by Blizzard. Players are not in competition for reward. And final pro would be minimum workload for Blizzard. I think I agree with all three of these. Here are the cons. It encourages novice players to avoid high skill level heroes because they just, you know, there's that diminishes the desire to do that. New heroes' average performance will not be steady until 1 week after release or update. And finally, performance of players will spike or dip based on hero ability changes and could result in over-under rewarding to the player. Keep up the awesome work. See you in the Nexus. What do you guys think about that concept?
So in Overwatch, you're not awarded anything for the cards except for the warm fuzzies, right?
Yeah, you just get voted and you feel good that you got voted. And sometimes the other team even voted for you. So you're like, whoa, dude, I'm awesome because I just got voted for it. That's
so
it.
You do, however, get more experience for medals.
Oh, that's true. Medals. Yeah, good point. So medals. Mm. So what they've done is they've made it more granular, right? They've taken what is basically, I mean, it's basically the score screen for us in Heroes, and they've applied rewards to those statistics that we are normally looking at, like, oh, I was highest in damage and John had best siege damage and somebody else did best tanking or whatever. Overwatch's approach would be applying actual rewards to those individual achievements in that match. That's kind of interesting to me. The only downside of that, well, I can't actually think of a downside. Like, what would be the harm in that? All right,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, John. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. So I always think of this player every time I think of people abusing a system, which is the hammer who just will not come out of their lane. They're going to just be the hammer of that lane, and they're going to sit there and not help on team fights and not help with anything. And come hell or high water, that's where they're going to be. And you lose the game, but they have the biggest XP contribution and maybe even siege damage for the whole team because they just sat in a lane the entire time. And rewarding a player like that doesn't feel good.
Yeah, that's you're right. There are exceptions. And maybe it's because, okay, how about this? Here's one. Why not figure out in the engine how to do this? I'm sure it can be done. Maybe it can't be done. I don't know. But wouldn't it be cool if we got plays of the game that maybe focused on a player's contribution to whatever was rad? That may be hard to pick out. I don't know. It'll always be probably a team fight. But if Zagara mod four people and you get to see the maw happen and see it happen at the end of it in slow motion, like it starts, it opens, and then the camera goes, and then you get to see it. Camera zooms in on Zagara and goes, play the game. Or whatever. That'd be pretty rewarding. I'd be into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the play of the game part is really loaded. I don't think I think people are really in love with it because it's a bold idea and Blizzard's done it really well. I don't think it's quite there yet. Because, you know, a lot of the same characters tend to get play of the game. Mm-hmm. You don't see the other ones as much. And if people really care about play of the game, you might say, like, well, I play Chromie all the time and never get play of the game because I only ever nuke one target at a time. And the play of the game, you know, likes to give it to McCree or Bastion, who both may end up being heroes in Heroes of the Storm.
I like that you just compared Chromie to McCree and Bastion.
That's awesome. You can't ever see those three going to dinner together, but nonetheless, the comparison works. So today I was in a match with Randy and some friends, and we were playing some random team. This is a daytime match, which means anybody playing in the daytime is hardcore or faking sick or called in work and said, I can't come in today. Whatever. First day of pure Overwatch play. And we're playing this game, and easily that other team had a carry on their team, and that carry was Mei. She owned that match. Stopped us dead in our tracks. Constant trouble for every character, no matter how hard we tried. I mean, we're all randos for the most part, but we did our best, and this Mei owned us. And when the game ended and the stats came up, she did not get play of the game and she did not get a card. But she deserved all of it. Of course you have. And I was going to say, you probably have a very specific sense for this because you play Mei quite a bit. And she can turn a game on its head almost single-handedly and she never gets credit, ever. So I totally get what you're saying, Bo. Like, it's a loaded thing. Yeah, like, it's hard.
Like, my thing is, like, these things are great. I'd love to see them in the game. But they can't be reasons for me to play. And they aren't reasons for me to play Overwatch. They feel really good and it's fun. Like, I get them well enough. But whenever I get one, other people aren't getting them. And sometimes people go a really long time without getting them. Mm-hmm. And if you really think about it, it's kind of poopy. Because, you know, if you play regularly with friends and you've got the one friend that gets it all the time, well, that kind of sucks for you. You know, like, it's... And I get that it's not designed to be fair, but it's not exactly balanced in terms of distribution of showing people's awesome contributions. Yeah. It favors certain, it's an algorithm. It favors certain types of patterns it identifies and shows those. And I think, getting play of the game. I play characters that give me play of the game.
Right,
like,
right.
I've won the game. I beat all the other 11 players when I get play of the game. That is not promoting team play.
It's some healthy dopamine every time you get play of the game. Like, you feel it, you want to do it again, you want to feel that again. But I totally understand where you're coming from, and I think the answer is Blizzard just needs to keep hacking away at the algorithm until they get to a point where a mercy clutch moment matters more, or where Mei freezing half the team matters more, or just start doing things that are less about I killed all five players or six.
I had like to see it reward multiple players. Because to me, we had matches last night where we did a team kill. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that us killing every member of the entire team isn't the best play of that entire game. We killed the entire enemy team. They all had to start over from scratch. Mm-hmm. That has to be play of the game. Mm-hmm. If they could come up with a way to do Avengers style, like play the game, your whole friggin' team, everybody's in there, and it cuts between... screens of everybody getting kills in that time, I think that's way cooler. I want to see that moment where everybody's in the middle of it, firing abilities and attacking each other, and everybody gets to celebrate in that case.
Yep.
I like it. Because I was going to suggest a voting system in the middle of match. Mm. Where, like, when you're in that match and you're on your death timer, maybe you give, you know, whoever has the most votes for being the coolest player, it'll figure out when that person had their best moment that match and just show that as player of the game.
Yeah, not make it. But you can't be one of the people to vote for, or you can't vote for yourself.
Can't vote for yourself.
Yeah that's not bad. Like, during
this time in that Twitch shooter, you can open up a little, press C maybe, like they have the radial menu for the emotes, put it on V or something.
Or just have it part of the resurrection UI, like you're waiting for to come back, you're watching the replay, just have a little overlay that says, I don't know, who's kicking ass, and just click a name and... I don't know. Yeah. That's not a bad idea. I kind of like that. Or at the very least, those numbers could just be added to statistical stuff that's happening with the replays anyway. In other words, it could help weigh which thing gets it in the end to an already pretty good algorithm. I mean, let's be fair here. It's a pretty awesome thing that's in the game.
Oh, it's good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that one, you know, every once in a while you're like, well, that's the eighth Bastion one we've seen tonight. Good night, everybody. Yeah. Right? Kind of sucks.
Yeah, exactly that.
Here's a phone call. This one is about Dragon Shrine.
What's going down, core guys? This is Gloom Cloud from Seattle, Washington. I love the show. I've been listening a while. Just been having a problem with, out of all the maps that I hate the most, I hate Dragon Shrine.
Boo.
And I don't know why it is, but that is the one we get stomped on the most. I have a hard time in pickup maps trying to get any semblance of a good strategy going to try to get over the hump that is Dragon Shrine. So it would be nice if you guys could give us kind of your ideas to what the best way about going and winning this map with the Dragon Knight. Thank you very much. Love the show. Goodbye.
All right. Bros. Oh, bros. All
right. I have an idea right off the top.
What's that?
Stop planning for Dragon Shrine. And that sounds weird, I know, but I'm not kidding. Stop going into Dragon Shrine with a plan.
Yeah.
Because Dragon Shrine is a tiny map, and it is if you have a nightmare game on Dragon Shrine, and I'm going to describe something that I think everybody has felt. You have one person in the middle, you have two people in the top, you have two people in the bottom, and nobody's taking anything.
Yeah.
You're just trading deaths. No, there's no Dragon Knight. You're 17 minutes in. There's still been no Dragon Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got ults now. Still no Dragon Knight. Like, that's the nightmare scenario. And it's because Dragon Shrine requires you to be able to look at your mini-map and take risks and make good decisions about who to rotate when to go where, when to give up a point to take a point with a stronger force, when to push aggressively. And it's all stuff that you have to kind of decide on the fly. That's not to say you can't work on anything before, but I think a lot of people go in with this 2-1-2 plan and it almost never works. It basically never works. Always have to have people rotating and moving around on that map.
I've got easier advice for this caller.
All right.
Oh.
Play Lost Vikings every time.
You know, in the last 7 days, they have the highest win rate. I don't know if you noticed that.
They're the best on that map. And if not that, maybe Falstad and Dehaka on your team. So anyone, because you can camp, like Blackheart's Bay, you can camp the Dragon Knight when the enemy team has both shrines. Those high mobility champions, Abathur maybe a two, but Falstad and Dehaka can really move around and get, you know, take it away from them and buy your team time. Then you go fight or whatever. So, but Lost Vikings are the best. Like, that's my favorite map on Lost Vikings.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm going to win when I'm like, oh, sweet. We're going to get so many Dragon Knights. It's going to be great.
It's a good point. That does give you an advantage on that map. And if you're doing a draft or something, you'll probably see the Vikings get banned on that map. At least I have before. So by the way, speaking of top player or top win rates right now, literally in the entire game across all maps, current leader is Lost Vikings. Last 7 days anyway, 55.9%. Kel'Thas in second, Rexxar next, Anub'arak, and then Nazebo. I just want to throw... go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. But on the Lost Viking front, look at the popularity. It's a small population of people that are awesome at Lost Vikings.
Yeah, it's 4.7. It's crazy percentage. It's so low. Yeah, that's insane.
Yep. You want to be a god walking among men? Be a Lost Vikings player. They've been on top forever.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Forever. Get good at Lost Vikings.
That percentage is so low, I'm thinking it might actually be you that it's counting. I think that might be you.
I don't play in the EuroLeague. I'm too nervous. I'm too scared, man. I think I'm competent. I don't think I'm competitive with them.
Well, I'm happy to say Nazebo's number 5. I've really been enjoying Nazebo lately. I don't know what's going on with him, but he's clicking with me like crazy. And long live the circle jerk. All right, moving on. Next call. We got one here. Oh, John, did you have anything you wanted to add? Or no, you already did. You just talked about the thing. Let's do this. Here's a call. Good question, I think.
That's a good question.
Hey, guys. This is Steve from Marshall, Michigan, calling for CORE. I have a stance on this whole ranking, ranked play versus non-ranked play, and quick match versus Hero League versus Team League. And my thought is that if we all have an MMR and every game we play is always tracked and our wins and losses are always tracked, then why have any distinction between a quick match or Hero League or a Team League? Why not it just be one big thing? So, love to hear your thoughts. Take it easy.
So, that's an interesting point, right? I know the answer is an easy one. Why not? I think because the different modes of play provide different answers to the way people want to play. Like you, there's no one way that everyone's going to love to play. I still have friends that play nothing but AI matches, and they should get to do that. That should be a thing that they're allowed to do. And I think that they're like, I want to play Team League all the time, but I'm sure glad there's other things I can do besides that. And I'm also really glad that the whole thing isn't just one giant quick match and that's it. So I think these distinctions are important to some extent, right? Like,
I think they have to be there for good reasons. I think we're looking at if we take Overwatch again, there's like, it's really quick play. Like, they have the arcade mode, but arguably, I'm sure the most popular mode is just quick play right now. Yeah. And I think the reason they need to be careful, all games need to be careful about the number of modes they add, is because player population is pretty important, and they don't want to have, you don't want to solve problems that nobody's saying is a problem, I guess. So I think that MOBAs specifically are designed to be five people on comms playing maps, and it's designed from there. But not everyone has the fortune of having good people that want to play with. You know, a lot of good people. None of them maybe like video games, or they don't play Heroes. They play some other game you don't like. And so you end up playing a lot on your own. So I think the modes are there to accommodate different tastes. Certainly, I get sick of playing Nova and Zeratul all day in quick match, so I'm glad they're solo ranked. Mm. And I'll be glad that there is unranked draft for me to take Lost Vikings into, with the idea that I'd like to take it into a competitive mode. I'm playing, stepping up my compete level. God, I hate that expression.
I do too.
I think as long as they're there for a reason, it's okay. But I get that, I think, for a newer player or a more novice player, all the different modes might feel intimidating. I know when I first started playing League, I felt intimidated to play nothing but just regular Summoner's Rift because all the other stuff was weird and I didn't get it. And I should have played other modes when I played that game. Actually, it was kind of a shame that all I ever did was play Blind Pick and rage at my teammates about, I called the ad carry and never got to play it.
Yeah, but you were like, you were like, you know, football training in the sand and, you know, or in the snow and then playing on a real field. Like, I felt like you did the School of Hard Knocks over there, and I think that was probably good for you. Like, I think you were finally...
Oh, yeah, I got called every name in the book over there, so I'm like, on a bad day, Heroes is like the best day ever in League of Legends.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, I was going to say.
Oh, my God. I don't know if it's changed. I haven't played in a while, but N-bombs are everywhere in that game.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't like the N-word, don't play that game.
It's a bit like... Here's the toxicity level difference, okay? So play League of Legends, it's like swimming in human feces. Play Heroes of the Storm, you got a little cookie crumbs in your milk. It's fine. Just
it's
swim around.
It's like a public pool.
It
you
is
know something's going on.
Yeah, you just don't know what it is. That's the way to describe it. It is like a public pool. Like, man, the chlorine's really strong. What are they trying to cover here? All right, John, thoughts on that whole thing?
Yeah, I think it's a noble idea, but I think it comes down to, you know, people are going to play in different modes for different reasons with different goals. We actually had during a kind of frank discussion with one of our own players on our Team League team, he floated a suggestion that Bo and I should make Smurf accounts just for Team League so that we could stop being matched up with people at Bo and I's level. I told him that wasn't going to work because our rank actually isn't that high in Team League. But I mean, like, that's how people look at it sometimes, is just like, no, you're the problem. And it works in both ways. Like, you're the problem. You're too low. You're the problem. You're too high. You know, So you have to have a differentiation of modes and MMRs so that you're not bringing in the wrong crowd to Team League or making life difficult for your friends and things like that. So I like the idea of one MMR. It's this very universal peace, love, happiness kind of idea. I just don't know if it's going to make the game better if it existed.
Yeah, or if it even exists now. And it doesn't.
We don't know. Yeah, it could.
It could. As far as we know, they've got all kinds of screwy numbers on us, but we don't know anything about nothing. But that's a good question.
That's a good question.
Okay, moving on. Final call. This is just a nice comment about some funny AI behavior.
Hey, Core guys, just calling to let you know about the humorous bug I found. I was playing as Sylvanas on Blackheart Bay, and I was able to convert the treasure chest, the doubloon chest, over to my team, and all my AI teammates surrounded it and started staring at it, and I thought that was hilarious. So, let's know. Love the show.
I love this idea. I love this idea of four other players just staring at a chest. I think that's great. You know, just immovable and not doing anything. That's great.
I'll tell you about another humorous bug I found.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Open mic night, Abathur.
Yeah.
He can really just let it go.
Get it?
Oh.
Humorous bug. Get it? Humorous bug. There was this one time. What would his jokes be? A priest, a monkey, and a horse walk into a bar. They were not awesome enough because they weren't evolved. Ha 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 ha. Like would that
That's
be it?
Exactly, Abathur humor, right there.
See, he is actually funny.
Evolutionary strain, weak.
Anyway, that's pretty good. What's the deal with airline food? All right. I don't know why he's a robot. I kind of screwed this up.
Well, he talks kind of monosyllabic and monotone.
That is true. Yeah. Well, there you go. Thank you for your calls, everybody. Great stuff. Mm. Love it. 801-471-0462 is the voicemail. Keep those calls coming, please. Or you can email us your thoughts and your attachments, if you so rather do that, at core@heroesforyou.com. It's going to do it for the show. Now, if you're here live watching, hang around. We're going to play some Overwatch, and you are welcome to watch us play Overwatch. You can Overwatch us play Overwatch. That's starting up here in a minute. Heroesforyou.com is our website. /join Frog Pants in the game in Heroes of the Storm. If you would like to be a part of our gaming community and play games with us, we would love to have you there. core@heroesforyou.com is the email address. I already told you that. Core Heroes on Twitter. John_Jagger on Twitter. I'm Scott Johnson there, and you can find Bo at Bo Schwartz. Finally, the French and the German coming together for a tasty treat. That's Bo Schwartz on Twitter. I think that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. We'll be back next week with a brand new show. Until then, we'll see you guys in the Nexus. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.